Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture and decor, and they deliver it for free in days. You heard that right. Days. That way, you get your sofa ASAP and can sit comfortably while figuring out your other modern must-haves. At All Modern, you'll find every style of modern, from Scandi to mid-century, minimalist to maximalist. Every piece is hand-vetted for quality by our team of experts and designed for real life. That's modern made simple. Shop now at allmodern.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad
Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh. The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Back to school creeping up? Don't sweat it. Ollie Mood Supplements protect your inner chill. Bring home Hello Happy or Goodbye Stress today and do wellness on your terms. Find Ollie at a store near you or at OLLY.com.
Ollie!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stanziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbagino. How's it going?
Jake, I'm doing good, brother. How you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. Today's guest is the founder and CEO of the BAM Companies. He's a 20-year real estate veteran who has acquired over 5,900 units. And here's the caveat. The folks in the back, you know, behind the scenes, this number is always changing. So don't quote me. It might be 10,000 at this point. We've had it happen a lot of times. Okay, these bios are always fluctuating. So without further ado, Ivan Barrett, welcome to the show.
I think that was Jake and G-Daddy.
Yes.
Jake and the G-Daddy.
Yes.
The G-Daddy. Don't forget the V.
No. The real G-Daddy.
Was I on with you guys? Was it 2019 last time I was on with you guys?
Yeah.
Something like that?
So yeah. I made some notes and I was like, I feel like it's been like 5 or 6 years since we spoke. I, you know, don't think we've gotten together much since then. And so, you know, I'd love to just hear the evolution of your company since that point. From what I remember, you're doing syndications, probably had a couple thousand doors at that point. And if I remember correctly, you as well are your vertically integrated group, yes?
Absolutely, yeah. So we started off in 2010 as a management company first.
Oh, wow, cool.
Serving other owners of property, basically anything I could get my hands on where I didn't have to carry a gun. And lots of small stuff, onesie, twosie, small apartment buildings, condos. Back in 2010, people couldn't sell their condo or their starter home, so they were renters by necessity. Built that up to about 1,000 units, but at the same time, was starting to do Burr method multifamily, you know, buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. I think I got that right. And continued to grow from there. Started syndicating in 2014 was my first actual syndication deal where I pooled investor capital. And then I think by the time in 2019 we were talking, you're right, we're probably a couple thousand units. And we had just started winding down that third party property management business. We no longer manage for others. We only manage on behalf of our general partnership, our GP.
Maybe talk about that a little bit. What was the reason for that?
Yeah, you know, I knew I wanted to do big deals, and I wasn't quite sure how to get there. But another year had gone by, and I had, you know, like a duplex and a single family or a condo that I lived in. And, you know, I thought, drop the ego, just start doing little deals. And what I realized, and I didn't necessarily want to do this, guys, because, you know, the tenants and the toilets, we call them residents now, but the tenants and the toilets are the hardest part of the business. And I just, gosh, I was reading, I think it might have even been Tim Ferriss or somebody like that, talking about doing what you hate to get to do what you love later. And so took the plunge and thought, well, I could probably convince investors to let me manage their assets, right? Things that people don't want to dealing with those, all those issues. And I was doing this by myself. And what I quickly understood was that if I could convince you to let me manage a few doors for you, I could make, you know, $100 a month, say, in cash flow per door. And I didn't have to go out and find a deal. I didn't have to go find a hard money loan. I didn't have to close on that deal. And so it was much easier to sell my services. And so I used that service approach to build the management company and was doing deals along the way until I was at the point where we had enough deals on our own to where we didn't have to do the third party management anymore. And I figured I would make a lot of mistakes. You know, I'm not that smart. I figured I would make every mistake in the book, which I did, but I wanted to make those on small assets and learn my lessons, take my lumps, pay my tuition on small deals before I started taking on other people's capital. And that, I think, has served me pretty well over the years. Now, we've transacted actually about 8,000 units and sold a couple thousand along the way. About a $1.35 billion, give or take, in transactions now, mostly Class A, newer vintage assets, about 165 employees, managing over $400 million of equity, and all still vertically integrated. Every part of the business is in-house. And that all started with managing a few little doors.
What made you want to start the management company back in 2010?
I just knew that I had to learn the execution side of the business. And I wanted to learn make small mistakes, fail fast, as they say, before taking on investor capital on bigger deals.
Wow. And what were you doing before that, Ivan? Did you go to college? Were you working in another profession or?
No, I went to IU, Indiana University, and studied finance and real estate. All aspects of real estate. They've got a great program, development, valuation, management, law, all sorts of things. And then was able to get my foot in the door with my first real estate mentor by saying I'd work for free. I was reading Rich Dad Poor Dad at the time, and that was the advice in the book, work to learn, not to earn, and was able to get my foot in the door with him. Now, of course, he would take care of me. I ended up becoming the in-house salesperson to him and another developer during 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006. Everything was pretty awesome. Best-selling projects in the city. And 2008 hits. Everything falls off a cliff. I'm the low man on the totem pole, so I wasn't scarred too bad. But certainly ended up realizing that I was practicing real estate the wrong way. And ate a lot of humble pie in those days. And that's really what started forming this thesis of investing in housing.
So let me ask you a question about the management. Why don't you think more people do what you did? Because I think Jake and I practically did the same thing as you did. We had no idea what the hell we're doing. Our first deal was a 25 unit and Jake managed that. Then we bought a 36 unit 3 months after that. And Jake's like, well, let's continue to manage. And then 3 months after that, we closed on 136. And then we're off to the races. And it's the same thing as you, a proof of concept with these smaller deals and getting some assets under our belt.
Yeah. And I love how you guys teach that. I love how you guys teach that. I think the answer is pretty simple. It's really freaking hard.
There's a 3 year period where you get beat, you get your ass beat. That's the thing. And I don't think
you get popped in the mouth. Yeah. Right? You get popped in the mouth, Jake. And you know, I wasn't that smart, but I was smart enough to know, hey, I just got to get back up. Every time I fall down, every time I get punched, right? Just get back up and learn and pivot and iterate, right? Tinker and keep growing. And, you know, a few years in, I beat my head against the wall. I had this crazy idea. I thought, what if we had a management company where people liked their jobs? What if we had a maintenance department where it wasn't a revolving door and we treated them like the gold that they are? And was lucky enough to find a few people early on who bought into that vision and could take that baton and run with it better than I could. And today, one of our differentiators is the culture we have on the management side of the house.
Mm-hmm. Ivan, what was it like going your identity from being the property manager to all of a sudden being the capital raiser? Because they're two totally different skill sets.
Well, I was decent at operating a business. I was decent at putting deals together. I was decent at growing a company, but I wasn't great at it. And I realized early on that I'd have to learn the people game. What I really am good at is influence, sales, convincing others to believe in what I'm doing and to buy into what I'm doing. So I was really good at first selling small investors out of California and various places to allow us to manage their investments. But as time grew on, I realized, you know, I'm not that great of an operator. And lucky enough, I partnered with who's still my partner today, a guy named Adam Arrett. And unfortunately for him, I realized early on that he was an incredibly good operator and a good manager of people. And so I kept giving him more, putting more on his plate, and really just getting out of his way. And we got to a point where I transitioned to raising equity, one check at a time, one LP at a time. And he was managing the operations, keeping the trains running on time. And he was far better at underwriting apartment deals than I was. And so I allowed him to run point on that. And that's really what started bending the growth curve for BAM.
When did you start transitioning from those assets, the C minus, to these, I guess, luxury assets that you're buying today?
Yeah, it's been a transition. I mean, like a lot of people, we started in C+, whatever we could get our hands on, but where we knew we could still add value and where the market was sort of trending. And we grew up into Bs. And as we approached, you know, even as early as 18 and 19, we saw cap rate compression across the asset classes from A to C, right? So C cap rates were coming down and A and B cap rates weren't that much lower. And so we started underwriting these B plus, A minus assets and realized that we could achieve our value add or our total return objectives and take a lot less risk. And what really has helped us do that and execute that is the operating side of the business, having a world-class maintenance department, having great managers and watching every line on the P&L of that property. We treat it like it's a business, as you guys know. It just happens to be an apartment community, but it's a business. And every dollar we can drop to the bottom line is going to be worth $16 to $24 on sale, depending on the market and the timing.
I can see Jake right now. He's drooling because I know he wants to jump in here because he's all about operations and Matt, and he loves this because we've instituted a couple of really cool things over the last 6 months to drive the management. So, Jake, I know you've got a ton of questions, so please jump in, brother.
Sure. Wow. Thanks, Gino. So one thing I'd be interested to hear, ratio of units to maintenance techs. So you're talking about really driving the customer service side of it. And I love to hear that. And I know when we first got in the business, it was, you know, you heard folks talking about 100 to 150 units per one tech. And, you know, we've taken over properties where, you know, the folks check out in the last 60 days and all of a sudden you hear a term called floating maintenance tech, right? And we know that's never going to deliver on the service. And I'm sure NPS scores and other things come into it. But for a general rule of thumb, where do you folks like to land for, you know, tech to unit count?
Yeah, it's hard to do a rule of thumb, but to give you a couple real life examples.
And I hate rules of thumb too, just to be fair. Because I think, you know, each scenario is unique, but just generally speaking,
averages are terrible metrics, right? If Bill Gates walks into a bar, on average, everybody's now a millionaire, right?
But generally speaking,
I thought I'd get a laugh on that one, but I'll try harder, guys.
That's all right.
So.
You can't make jokes about Bill Gates these days, all right? People get sensitive, all right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Bill.
It gets a little twisted.
Yeah, I think right now, you know, our smallest property is going to be somewhere around 150. Obviously, the numbers and the scale get better when we're talking 200 to 300 units.
Yeah.
On that 150-unit deal, we're typically going to have other deals nearby. So we won't buy 150-unit property any longer. Unless it's an add-on to a market we've already got deals in or assets in.
Sure.
So that 150 unit, it might have one full-time guy there, but it's also got a multi-site manager or maintenance supervisor overlooking that site as well. So one guy's not floating between multiple properties at the maintenance technician level. You might have a maintenance supervisor looking, for instance, in Fort Wayne, I've got a 150-unit deal and a 180-unit deal. Across the interchange from each other on a major highway. Across those two deals, you might have 2.5 total techs, something along those lines. What we don't do is we don't pick up the phone and call the contractor when the HVAC breaks. We fix that all in-house. So typically, you're going to see 2 to 3 maintenance technicians on site at a property, especially when you start getting into that 200 plus.
So you guys are scaling out CapEx teams, you know, in the regions as well. Is that what I'm hearing?
The maintenance tech on site can handle a lot of that rudimentary or run of the mill CapEx. Maybe not everybody thinks about it that way, but we've got a guy we brought out of retirement to train maintenance technicians, increase their capacity for HVAC troubleshooting, fixing, replacing, that sort of thing. So we've grown something pretty special on the maintenance side, and we're able to drive down costs there considerably.
Yeah, I would recommend to folks, if you're scaling your management company, the first real important hire on the maintenance side is someone that is capable to handle your HVAC units. That was one of the areas we got burned in early on, where it was just everything needs to be a replacement, and it doesn't. And, you know, if you do have older product, it usually lasts a lot longer than the newer stuff. So if you can maintain that stuff, it's going to make your dollar go a lot further. So I think getting that.
I couldn't agree more, Jake.
Yeah, that HVAC stuff knocked out early on is very important. What do you think makes your management company unique?
Well, so if I look at a management company, it's really a loss leader or a captive service provider to the wealth management mission of the capital company. If I'm miserly with how I run that company and I really pinch pennies, I might do like the margin of a good restaurant, maybe 10, 12% profit margin. Instead, what we do is we really pour most of that back into the company. Huge Christmas party every year. And for anybody listening, I did not say holiday party. I did say Christmas party. All are welcome.
Dude, he's trying to get blackballed here, you know?
Controversial, I guess. I'm controversial for throwing a Christmas party, but hey, what am I going to do? So that's a freaking wedding / prom. I mean, plated meals, award ceremonies. We've got a video going up to that on our internal social media. Announcing who might be in the running for those awards.
Tiesto's there.
Huge party. No Tiesto yet, but we're working on that.
Okay.
Huge party, big after party, open bar. I mean, we don't spare any expense. Everybody gets a plus one, and we bring in everyone from every site, everywhere, put them up in a hotel and have a kick-ass party. Every quarter we're doing quarterly social events. And then now I think this year will be 5 or 6 for BAMCon, which is our 2-day event. We're bringing everybody for education, learning together, some keynote speakers, and some fun social stuff too. So we really, really pour in to culture. And that's why we tend to get people staying here, right? We overpay people in a lot of cases. And crazy thing, I'm sure you guys are going to be flabbergasted and surprised, but when you pay people well and treat them well, they tend to stick around and do a good job.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens is you get better service to your residents, you get better resident retention, and it actually starts to positively impact the bottom line, which is it's a trail to follow, but I believe in it and have seen it in our own business. So I think you're nailing it.
It makes my life easier, guys. Like, yeah. I passed the ability to work harder a while ago. And this is a people game. It's mm-hmm. it's all about the people. As you two know, it's the hardest asset class on the planet to manage, but that's why the returns can be so great.
Gino, you said I have the floor. Give me one more question.
Okay, yeah, okay. I'll give you one more. I'll give you two more, Jay. Go ahead.
Okay, cool.
Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture and decor, and they deliver it for free in days. You heard that right. Days. That way, you get your sofa ASAP and can sit comfortably while figuring out your other modern must-haves. At All Modern, you'll find every style of modern, from Scandi to mid-century, minimalist to maximalist. Every piece is hand-vetted for quality by our team of experts and designed for real life. That's modern made simple. Shop now at allmodern.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Ready to get everyone else ready for back to school? You've got this, and Ollie's got you. Ollie Mood Supplements help you keep your cool and find your happy place. Try Hello Happy or Goodbye Stress so you don't sweat the small stuff. Take it all in stride and do wellness on your terms. Find Ollie at a Walmart or Target near you or at OLLY.com.
Ollie!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So there is a reality, though, to payrolls have gone through the roof since COVID,
yeah.
right? And it's pinching the bottom line, but you got to provide the service. What have you done with AI or VAs to pick up some of the repetitive tasks to help out, give some relief to the payroll side of things?
Yeah. So my first default is default answer is people, right? My second default is technology.
Yeah.
Technology drives value if you can execute well with it. So, you know, certain parts of the business have been offshored to full-time folks. We don't have virtual assistants. We have virtual employees.
No. Virtual team members.
Yeah.
Hey-o! Sure.
Virtual team members. Yeah. And we treat them like they're in the cubicle, you know, right next door. They work in our time zone. They're on our social media platform. We brought the first few over for BAMCon. That took over a year to get visas for these folks.
What region are you working in here?
Philippines has been great for us.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of the first podcasts I've admitted that. I mean, it's part of the secret sauce.
What is admitted?
Well, everybody's figuring it out now, but it's a huge value driver.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Huge value driver. It's not a well-kept secret anymore.
We're getting behind the cloak here, Gino. Any AI, you know, scanning docs or working in the business like that right now?
Oh gosh, there's so much going on right now with AI, and we're looking at how that could impact every part of the business. I mean, legal, content generation, service calls, initial leads in investor inquiries, right? There's so many ways that AI is going to impact the efficiency of the business. Now,
compliance,
it's never going to get...
Right? Yeah.
Sorry?
No, compliance as well, right? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
Ivan, as far as KPIs, what are some of the KPIs that you focus on with the management company that are important to your business?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the KPIs we're looking at weekly are obviously trade outs, renewal rates, occupancy. We're looking at budget variance monthly, move in, move out surveys, work order, open, close, duration of time. Those are some of the big ones right off the top of my head. But as we grow, KPIs become such an important thing in every aspect of the business. Like Jake mentioned earlier, net promoter score on the capital side. There's if you're not measuring it, it's hard to improve it.
Mm-hmm. Last question before we go to the short answers. How are you able not to outgrow your infrastructure? Because you've scaled up pretty quickly. You went from property managing to buying these big deals and then trying to offshore the property management and hiring a ton of people at the same time. What allowed you, or what was your thought to say, I'm not going to outgrow my infrastructure?
Well, I want to correct one thing. You can't offshore property management. You can offshore accounting and IT, right? And video editing and that kind of thing.
No, but I meant as far as doing it for other people. Like you said, yeah. I'm just going to get rid of that and I'm just going to do it for myself. How did you guys not outgrow your infrastructure, bringing on these big assets, all of these different investors, a lot of different things going on?
Yeah. So my favorite exercise is, who are we hiring next? So the team I have today is not the team I need today to execute what we have today. The team I'm building out right now is the team I need 6 months, a year from now, 2 years from now, to support the growth. And I've been doing this a while. My dad always said, or still says, he's still around, dig the well before you're thirsty. So by knowing that I'm constantly going to be reinvesting in the company, it's an easy decision. Hey, who's the hire next, or who maybe have we outgrown that we need to top grade, and constantly looking for more people to help fill that out, so that we don't get over our skis.
That is the term right there. Do not get out over your skis. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, all right, a lot of that going on right now, unfortunately.
No doubt. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Now, we have had a great run in multifamily, going from zero units to over $250 million in assets. That's over 2,000 apartment deals that we've been able to purchase through our framework, BuyRight, ManageRight, and FinanceRight.
Now, Jake and I, we created the Jake and Gino community back in 2015. We launched our first book, Yield Our Profits. And since then, our students have closed over 60,000 units. That's over $4 billion in assets they've been able to close over the last 6 years.
And that's why this community has been so successful. We call it results-based education, and we pour back into the community everything that we've learned on our journey from zero to 2,000 units and all our systems and scale that we use on our very own property management and investing companies.
Jake, I love that. It's not just education, it's implementation. So what I want you to do, click on that link down below, apply to work with our team, see how we can help you on your journey in multifamily.
All right, we are back. So there's folks out there that want to do what you're doing. They want to get into real estate. They want to scale a company. Maybe they have a couple assets. I think it's many times viewed as a pie in the sky, impossible for folks that are not there yet. I think a huge key to it is the scaling aspect of it. So any tip or advice you can give to a young Ivan out there, maybe you say to yourself 20 years ago, what's the best tip you can give someone for scaling early on?
Yeah, when I finally checked my ego at the door and stopped worrying about doing big deals and just really focused on the next deal, and when I came to the realization that figuring out people would be harder than the real estate, things really started clicking. And I heard my dad saying the journey to 10,000 miles, and I switched it to units. The journey to 10,000 units starts with the next two. Because I didn't want to buy single family. I'd manage it, but I didn't want to buy it. And putting my head down and really just focusing on putting one foot in front of the next, every now and then you've got to look up and make sure you're still heading the right direction and you're on the right mountain. But looking at that summit and dreaming and pining over it too long takes your concentration off of what's the baby step I've got to take today in the next 10 minutes, in the next hour, to get me one little step closer. And that is incredibly important early on. And then just realizing there's no amount of books or courses to take where you're going to
It's going to do the work for you for the next deal,
or yeah. soften out the bumps in the road, or accelerate the learning curve. Sure, there's ways to do that as you get going, but like you said earlier, just realizing you're going to get hit in the mouth.
Yeah,
it's not a question of if, just when, and over again. And so that's that founder struggle. I mean, Mark Cuban sold shit door to door early on.
Nothing's going to replace the hustle. You got to have the education, but it's education times action to equal your results. And now this, folks, is our part of our segment where Gino's going to talk about the conveyor belt.
The conveyor belt. Well, it's actually interesting, Ivan. We just purchased a 4-unit deal last month. So we're back down to buying small deals because it's next to a 12 unit, which is next to our 200 units. And we bought it at an amazing price point. We're going to bundle them together, like you said. And it's our own capital as well. So we've exited our three syndications. So we've been buying, deals for the last 5 years with our own capital. And you're really describing the conveyor belt, which is really, if you sit down there and you look at an imaginary belt in front of you, your job as an investor is to put deals, assets on this conveyor belt. You may buy a single family or a duplex or a 4-unit, put it on there. Let that asset work its way through the conveyor belt. And by year two or year three, it's what we say falling off the conveyor belt, whether you're selling it or you're refinancing it, you're pulling that equity out and you're repurposing it into the next deal. So Ivan starts out with a duplex, then a 4-unit, then a 12-unit, then an 18-unit. And by year three, he's got 70 or 80 units on there that are ready to come off the conveyor belt to be able to put into bigger assets. And now syndication has allowed a lot of investors to put bigger assets on that conveyor belt to be able to pull out. And I think the goal ultimately is to put those assets on the conveyor belt, pull that equity out from syndication, make yourself a ton of money, and then repeat that process with smaller assets that you can JV with you and maybe one or two other people, and then continue along. I think that is the goal of any real estate investor. And I think that's the business of real estate that most investors don't understand. And there's so many ways to achieve it. And if you're looking at small deals and people are poo-pooing the small deals, sometimes a 50 unit all by yourself or with one other partner may be better than a 300 unit that you've syndicated. It depends where you are in your journey. So understanding what your goals are, understanding your experience, and understanding that you're trying to build equity in these deals. And equity is what makes you rich in these deals.
Amen, G Daddy.
Amen. Hey, there he is. There he is. Talk about the allure of third parties. So you've been self-managing from the beginning.
Zero allure.
No, but there's people out there that have gone there, right? And they've started managing, then they've switched to third party, or vice versa. So. Talk about how important your management company is, and could you ever see yourself doing third party, and why not? And I have my own thoughts on this, but I think it's very good for people to hear. So
yeah.
just real raw with folks, right? Because this is to benefit the folks listening, right?
Listen, if you're going to do third party, great, more power to you. It's a very sticky, business, sort of a low valuation.
We're using it for your investments too, right? From that perspective as well. Yes.
Well, we're just talking about third party now, right?
So I'm saying, like, if you were to switch to third party, or as an investor using third party management, I just want to hear your thoughts on that, really, to be more specific.
Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture and decor, and they deliver it for free in days. You heard that right. Days. That way, you get your sofa ASAP and can sit comfortably while figuring out your other modern must-haves. At All Modern, you'll find every style of modern, from Scandi to mid-century, minimalist to maximalist. Every piece is hand-vetted for quality by our team of experts and designed for real life. That's modern made simple. Shop now at allmodern.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
From kids' sleep gummies all the way to extra-strength sleep gummies, Ollie can help everyone sleep like it's a school night. Do wellness on your terms. Find Ollie at a store near you or at OLLY.com.
Ollie!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You know, yeah. I mean, for us, we won't do it. We will never do it. It's too hard to do it our way, the way we want to do it, than to be beholden to somebody else who's got their opinions of how it should be run. And that's, you know, that's their business. That's their prerogative. But we just don't like working for anybody else. And we've worked really hard.
That's an interesting way to say it. You don't want to be working for anyone else. Meanwhile, they're working for you.
I'd rather work for the investors, right?
No, but yeah, but you don't want to be working for anyone else, and you're talking about a third party that's working for you. And I think that's the mentality a lot of times, because you may have an initiative, you're going to the third party saying that we want to do this to the property, and it's met with resistance. And there's only so much of that that an A type entrepreneur can actually swallow, right? Because it gets a little old after a while.
Yeah, absolutely. It depends on what kind of return you're trying to hit. If you're trying to get outsized returns to your investors, and you want to watch every freaking dime and nickel and dollar, it's going to be really hard to get there with third party unless it's just an incredible market like we've had. You might still be able to do it. And this is just my opinion. These aren't facts.
Sure.
The guys that manage tens of thousands of units, they've got a certain kind of scale. But in many of those cases, we love finding assets that are managed by some of these big third-party managers, because of the mediocrity of the operation gives us room to improve and add value. It would just be too much of a burden on my team to have to answer to other owners. And we've got the BAM way, and we're just not looking to change it for somebody else.
Ivan, would it be a viable option if someone who has a property management company is listening to the show right now saying, hey, I really want to get into this game. I really want to become an owner. Can I find an Ivan who's using third party, or Jake and Gino who's using third party, to possibly get some equity? And it's like same thing with realtors. Are they not entrepreneurial enough? Like sometimes I say to myself, a realtor could get part of a deal instead of getting that big. I mean, is that the case?
Sure.
Is it a mindset, or is it just they never really thought about it, or they don't think they can do it? Give me your thoughts on that, because that may be some real amazing value for somebody who's managing units.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone that's got a property management operation that's wants to grow that and is good at it. That's an uncommon skill set that you can bring to a table. The reason why my partnership works so well with me and Adam is because we're opposites. He's a great operator. He's great at managing people. He's got a very different mind than I do. He doesn't want to be in front of the camera. He doesn't want to really talk to investors all the time. And I enjoy this stuff. And so by us teaming together, the sum now is great, or the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And I would encourage anyone who's got a property management company to seriously consider getting on the ownership side.
I have a Jake and Gino student named Daniel Tweedo. I got to give him a big shout out, because he did exactly that. 32 years old, he was changing windshield glass. That was his job. Joined the community. His first deal was a 96-unit syndication in Dallas. First deal, I think 4 years ago. He saw the need. He's like, I don't have a lot of capital. Where is my value? He says, I'll suck it up. I'll start a property management company. And he has hundreds and hundreds of units right now through this property management company. He's partnered up with somebody like you, Ivan, who likes to raise the capital. He's the operations and his business partner is the capital. So that is, I'm glad you mentioned that and you shared that with us, because I think that's a great way for anybody who wants to have some kind of equity, but wants to put some skin in the game, but is also truly sweat equity in the game and providing a tremendous value and tremendous service to investors and to partners as well.
Winning formula for sure.
It's interesting because I think most people assume that these larger third parties are more professionally run, they got more systems in place, and ultimately it's just better. You know, I think even for myself, you know, getting into the business, you're like, you look at the bigger institutions, you automatically think gold standard, right? But you're challenging that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Listen, even on those big guys, behind the scenes, it's duct tape and hamster wheels, man.
Woo! So for an investor then, should they be looking for a vertically integrated owner operator or a big time syndicator that's running third party?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm going to be speaking in my book here, right? I think when you've got
that's called a softball.
Jake, tell me this, would you invest in any other business on the planet where the owner said, hey, we don't really manage the day to day in the business. We hire somebody else to do that. Invest with me. Like that's a tough pill to swallow in any sort of business. So why in multifamily is it effective to use third party?
It gives the ability to scale quickly, and that's why people do it, in my opinion.
Listen, big institutions, they want to make 9, 10, 11, 12% on their money, and they don't want to lose. You know, that might be a viable option for them to have a big institutional third-party property management provider. I can't raise capital at 12% returns. Believe me, I've tried. We've got to hit, you know, excess of 20, 25, sometimes more if we time it well. And in order to do that, we have to be vertically integrated, in my opinion.
Interesting. Did you get caught up in any floaters in the last 5 years? Anything that's giving you pain right now?
Listen, we use a mix of floating and fixed debt. I love floating rate debt when it's used properly. So in my opinion, you know, whether it's a hammer or a floating rate loan, it's a tool. And I can use that tool to build something well, or I can, you know, take that hammer and bang it against my head or somebody else's and hurt somebody. They're just tools. So what we did when we bought floaters, we bought caps, but we also held a lot of cash on the sidelines instead of distributing every last dollar. And we're in a fund format now. We're on closing out our fourth fund, opening up 5 and 6. I like floating debt in a fund format a lot better than a single asset, mm-hmm. because in my case, true, you know, certain assets may be treading water where others are doing really well. By using the fund format, the portfolio as a whole can weather through that storm. Because as you guys know, the fundamentals right now are really great in multifamily from a supply and demand. Now, we're going to be talking a lot about occupancy and supply maybe this year, but starts have also fallen off a cliff. So what's going to happen in 2 to 3 years is a lot of these markets are going to be undersupplied again. The fund allows me to sort of smooth out some of that volatility, and it allows me to have optionality if I want to exit a deal early without paying a big prepayment penalty. Now, we didn't go to these big debt funds. We went to big banks and got floating rate debt from some big banks. And then we mix in some fixed rate debt as well.
Ivan, where do you see pricing? Do you see pricing adjusting downward a little bit more this year? Or do you see it? Depending on where your market is. But I think in a regular market, I still see pricing is just still a little high in a lot of these markets.
Yeah, you know, there's just not a lot trading right now. And what's interesting is
a lot of mutants are trading. You're getting a lot of like the 45 unit with the problems and a lot of these just like
we're getting some
deals.
Pretty good looks at some deals, not as many as we'd like. But what we're finding is there's some developers that are being forced to sell by their LP. They're still making money. They're just not making as much as they thought they would. We found some
that
great
seems to be the deal type. I want to focus on that for folks out there. The recently finished product, you know, having an issue exiting right now. That there seems to be, you know, speaking to folks, we haven't recently purchased anything like that, but I've heard that come up in some circles that that may be something for folks to be looking at.
Yeah, I think what everybody's, and that's been a great source of deals for us, a developer who didn't want to sell but has to, mm-hmm. we can trade at a good price, a price that makes sense for our return targets. So our buy box has been a little bit easier to find with some of these acquisitions. And then these big funds that need, or REITs that need a W in Q4, Q1, and they decide to sell one or two, and they're being managed by a mediocre big third party. I think there's still more pain to come, guys. You know, everybody's starting to wake up to this higher for longer is a real thing. We're leaving we're exiting the phase that started at the end of World War II. The world's becoming more dangerous, more multipolar. You've got reshoring of American jobs. You've got greening, and these factors are inflationary. They're inherently inflationary. The good news is you've got growing wages for the first time in decades. So it's really about a matter of just finding opportunities that can weather storms. I think it's a great time to buy assets if you can find them. And if you don't have to sell, don't freaking sell.
Mm-hmm. The market is super important right now, because if you're in a market with population, job growth, that's going to, you know, potentially save your ass. And there's a restaurant in town that, you know, whenever you're doing a banker lunch, everyone goes there, right? So there's, at any given, you know, day of the week, there's 15 bankers in there. And you always hear, and I've been hearing this for the last 2 years, alive to 25, alive to 25. And you will go in there and hear it at least once in passing when you go into this restaurant for lunch.
Yeah. Wait till 28.
That was my question. When do we wait until now?
I don't know. Do what you can do till 32. Who the freak knows, man?
But I think to your point, there are going to be some folks that are a little disappointed with that statement.
You know, do you guys ever listen to Howard Marks?
I've heard of him. Yeah,
more of a Karl Marx myself, but sure.
You know, I think the way that guy approaches buying assets is pretty spot on. It's, you know, in our game, there's no such thing as necessarily catching a falling knife. If your hold period is 5, 7, 10 years, you want to buy all the way down and keep buying, because nobody knows where the bottom is. Blackstone's already said they're coming back in the game, which is kind of funny because they already left the game. Yeah, they never really left the game.
All cash, what was it, 5, 10 billion the other day they dropped? Something stupid, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh yeah. They're in buy mode big time. Especially when it comes to housing, because we know people are going to need rooftops. We're still having population growth here, and you're seeing a lot of reasons to want to be in the USA, and a lot of jobs coming back as well. And I think this is all very good for the country. I think for certain vintages of assets where, you know, somebody bought on a floater with max leverage in Austin or Phoenix, you know, they're toast. We're hearing a lot from our LPs that other sponsors they're invested with are tossing back the keys, and their equity is gone.
I think we're gonna
see more in that. And that also, the other side of that coin means it's a great time for finding opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Maybe time to go on a buying spree here in a little bit. You mentioned Tim Ferriss, I believe, before. Anything that you've read in the last year or so that added value to your life that you want to share with the folks?
Oh, sure. The most recent books, let's see, The Price of Time, which is it's a little academic, but it's the history of interest rates all the way back to like Babylon. That was very, very interesting to see the cycles through, you know, a couple thousand years or actually more. That's been a fun one. Trillion-dollar triage, which is the inside story of what Powell and Yellen did to save us from the abyss during COVID. That's been really interesting. And then Brad Jacobs has got a great book. He's a CEO I admire very, very much. How to Make a Few Billion Dollars. He's taken 4 or 5 companies to public billion-dollar valuation or more status.
Nice. Love that. Best way for folks to get a hold of you?
BAMCapital.com.
Look at that. Bam. BAMCapital.com. Gino, you're up.
We have a young Ivan Barrett in the early 2000s, sales guy, having fun, but he's the low man on the totem pole. And 2008 comes, and I think he gets a little hacked. But in 2010, he decides to start his property management company, and he's starting to grow that. Onesies, twosies, and I think people have a short-term memory of back then, you couldn't sell your stuff. You became an owner by default. In 2013 is his first syndication, and in 2019, he's got a couple thousand units and decides, this has been a really tough road. You guys can take your units back. I'm going to take care of my own stuff, and I'm going to continue to grow BAM Capital. And that's where BAM Capital is nowadays. They're working on their own stuff, vertically integrated, over 140 employees, continuing to grow. And as Ivan likes to say, if you want to get into the business or any business, just expect to get punched for the next couple of years. But then after that, it'll be great. Ivan, thanks for being on the show today. This was an awesome show. I really appreciate you being on.
Gino, a.k.a. Big Daddy, and Jake. Jake the Snake. No, that's not going to work. That's
brother.
Not going to work.
Hey, we'll do some WWF stuff. We'll take
honor
it.
Honor to be here, guys.
Thanks.
Awesome. Gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake, and he is, according to Ivan, the Big Daddy, the G Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Have a good one, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture and decor, and they deliver it for free in days. You heard that right. Days. That way, you get your sofa ASAP and can sit comfortably while figuring out your other modern must-haves. At All Modern, you'll find every style of modern, from Scandi to mid-century, minimalist to maximalist. Every piece is hand-vetted for quality by our team of experts and designed for real life. That's modern made simple. Shop now at allmodern.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Grandma's place always smells like pine. She said, get out the chat room and clean mine.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
From kids' sleep gummies all the way to extra-strength sleep gummies, Ollie can help everyone sleep like it's a school night. Do wellness on your terms. Find Ollie at a store near you or at OLLY.com.
Ollie!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.